My apologies, Madam Chair. One more moment.
No problem.
Okay, they're ready. Thank you. Sorry, guys.
No problem. The Piscataway Township Planning Board meeting will please come to order. Adequate notice of this meeting was provided in the following ways. Notice published in the Courier News. Notice posted on the bulletin board of the municipal building. Notice made available to the township clerk. Notice sent to the Courier News and the Star Ledger. Ms. Buckley, would you please call the roll?
Mayor Waller?
Present.
Ms. Corcoran?
Here.
Ms. Saunders?
Here.
Reverend Kenny?
Here.
Mr. Atkins?
Here.
Mr. Foster?
Here.
Mr. Ahmed? And Madam Chair?
Here. The flag is over my right shoulder. Can we all cross our hearts and recite the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all. Can we have the professional sworn in, please?
Yes, can you please raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give with the truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Mr. Barlow, would you advise us of any changes in the agenda tonight?
Yes, Madam Chair. 23 PB 15/16, which is 30 Duke Road, also known as Block 4202, Lot 7, has been carried and postponed until the October 11th, 2023 meeting. The applicant has to notice.
Okay.
The 10 Marion Court Trust matter, 23 PB 13/14V, Block 12201, lots 5 and 6.03, also is postponed and carried until the October 11th, 2023 meeting. The applicant will notice. So in terms of public hearings, we have the Rockefeller group, which is 10 Normandy Drive. And then we have six items for discussion thereafter, starting with Mr. Morse's application for an extension to perfect the subdivision. And then there's some other items for discussion, Madam Chair.
Okay, I believe that there. I'd like to have a motion to pay the duly audited bills from the board.
Madam Chair, it's
Madam on. Chair.
Excuse me?
Dawn was the first that Mr. Kenny set. Reverend Kenny seconded.
Okay, thank you.
Roll call. That is correct. Thank
you. I must be.
Mayor Waller?
Yes. Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Adoption, item number 8, adoption of resolution to memorialize action taken on August the 9th. Ms. Saunders, please.
It's non-applicable. Yes.
Yeah, there are no minutes.
Okay. That was a resolution.
There's none.
There's no minutes either?
Number 9 is adoption. I like to adopt the minutes from the regular meeting on August 9th, 2023.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that one quickly.
Roll call, please.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Should we do the discussion items at this time?
No, we're going to save them for after the Rockefeller Group, Madam Chair.
Okay. Item 10, which on my agenda is 10, which is 23PB18, Rockefeller Group Development Corporation, preliminary and final site plan. Mr. Todaro.
Yes, good evening, Madam Chair, members of the board. My name is Anthony Todaro. I'm an attorney with the law firm of Fagery, Drinker, Biddle & Reith, Princeton, New Jersey. And we represent the applicant, Rockefeller Group Development Corporation. And we are here tonight seeking preliminary and final major site plan approval. And to be clear, there's no variances or waivers sought in connection with this application. And so the property that's subject to this application is identified as block 3702, lot 1.02 on the township's tax map, otherwise known as 10 Normandy Drive. It's a slightly larger tract than 35 total acres, and it's situated west of the intersection of Normandy Drive and Hancock Road. And so just by way of brief background, the property was the former site of a Union Carbide Corporation processing facility. Property is currently vacant with some dilapidated structures remaining. So as the board may recall, the property was designated as an area in need of redevelopment in December of 22, and a redevelopment plan was subsequently prepared to outline Piscataway's intentions for planning, development, revitalization of the site. And so that redevelopment plan was actually adopted by ordinance this past June. And it supersedes the light industrial LI5 zoning that was previously applicable to the property. And so through this application, we're proposing the construction of a 241,200 square foot warehouse and accessory improvements. And so warehousing is a permitted principal use on the property, and the project was carefully designed to reflect that redevelopment plan that was just implemented. So stated differently, this is a fully compliant site plan, does not deviate from the standards and requirements of the redevelopment plan. And so with that said, our intention is first to begin our presentation with the applicant's representative, who's going to provide a really just first to establish standing for this application, and then to provide an overview of the applicant's experience as a redeveloper in New Jersey. Then we're going to turn to our engineering team to provide an overview of our site plan and site circulation. We have our traffic engineer here. He's just going to be discussing site circulation and answering any related questions. Since warehousing is a permitted use, we don't want to necessarily get into the traffic impacts unnecessary here, unless the board has any other questions. And then lastly, we'll turn to our architect to discuss the actual site features, colors, materials that are going to be used for the exterior, those types of items. And so before I turn it over to our first witness, just do, I guess, quick housekeeping items. We have several review reports. And so after our most recent plans were filed, we have the September 8th planning review memo, number 2, September 7th, 2023 revised fire approval, and the September 2nd, 2023 revised staff memorandum. And apart from the items that were already addressed in our submissions, our intentions to comply with all of the comments put in those reports. And then the last item, we just want to note that in connection with our engineering exhibits, we want to also show that the applicant's dedicated to being a great neighbor, in addition to being a great redeveloper in the state. And by that, we identified one property that's on the corner of Normandy Drive and Hancock Road. And what we want to do is provide that property owner with some additional buffering and screening to the extent that we can. While we don't have to do it, we want to provide any type of buffering that we can for residential use. And so with that said, I'd like to turn it over to our first witness. I just want to see if he's here, Mr. Abramson of Rockefeller.
Hi. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yes.
Can
you please raise your right hand, Mr. Abramson? Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give was truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. So hi, my name is Heath Abramson. Spelling is H-E-A-T-H. Last name, Abramson, A-B-R-A-M-S-O-H-N. I'm the vice president and regional director for the Rockefeller Group. The Rockefeller Group is a national developer with headquarters in New York City, and our local office is in Morristown, New Jersey. Our history goes back to the development of Rockefeller Center in conjunction with the Rockefeller family. Although the family is no longer our owner, we have continued to grow as a development company nationally as well as within the state. We've been actively developing within New Jersey for the last 45 years. And more locally within Piscataway, during approximately 2017 to 2019, we developed the neighboring property, five buildings, 2.1 million square feet, that was the former Union Carbide Dow Chemical site. And the 10 Normandy site, which is what we're talking about tonight, is right next door. In addition to that, we are under construction for an approximate 150,000 square foot building, 10 Constitution within Piscataway. And then just more specific to this site, this project is a brownfield redevelopment. It sat vacant for many years, starting, I believe, with Union Carbide, Dow Chemical. Actually, I think it was Union Carbide before Dow Chemical acquired them. Then it was Georgia Gulf, Georgia Pacific, Axial, and now Westlake. We're seeking approvals to develop an approximate 241,000 square foot warehouse distribution facility, which we plan to construct on a speculative basis with the potential for 24/7 operations. We do not know who the ultimate occupier of the space will be, but we have designed the building to attract a broad range of ultimate users for this space. Given the history of the site, it is a brownfield redevelopment. We ultimately will be following all, working with ownership and DEP, and we'll ultimately have an RAO on the site at the end, which we could address at a later point. But that's a high-level background on Rockefeller as well as the site. If there's anything else that I missed, please let me know, Anthony. Otherwise, we can move forward.
That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Leave it to the board, Bill, unless there's any questions, we'll just have our first professional.
Members of the board, do we have any questions of this witness? Hearing no questions, I'd like to open it to the public. Ms. Buckley, would you check and see if there are any requests to be heard?
You would have to ask, Madam Chair. And are we going to open it to public after each witness, or are we going to wait until after testimony? Because we have about 12 people on.
Madam Chair, I think it makes sense to let the applicant put his whole case on, and then if anyone has any questions, that way some later expert may answer a question someone might have right now.
That's fine.
That makes sense to us as well. We think that it would probably be deferring to the next professional anyway.
Thank you. You may call your next witness then.
Thank you. I'd like to call Franz Lakey of Sessi Engineering, have him sworn in.
Okay. Can you please raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony about to give you the truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Can you please state and spell your name for the record?
Name is Franz Lakey, F-R-A-N-Z-L-A-K-I.
Thank you.
Thank you. And could you just provide some of your credentials and qualifications for the board?
Yes, I am a principal at SESI Consulting Engineers, located in Parsippany, New Jersey. I am a professional engineer licensed in the states of New Jersey, New York, and Pennsylvania. I have appeared before multiple planning boards, zoning boards throughout the state over the past several years. I have roughly 12 years of experience in this field.
This may have as an expert unless there's any objection.
There's no objection to his credentials.
Thank you. And you brought on to prepare a site plan in connection with this application?
Yes, I was.
And would you be able to explain to the board what that site plan actually looks like and what some of the engineering features look like?
Yes, I certainly will. I am going to share my screen with a exhibit rendering that was prepared by my office.
Mr. Tadera, will mark the exhibits A1 and then just keep going, okay?
Absolutely.
can you just explain to the board what they are looking at?
Yes. So this here is a colorized rendering of our site plan of the 10 Normandy site. So the proposed property is located at 10 Normandy Drive. It is block 3702, lot 1.02 in the township of Piscataway. It is located directly off of Normandy Drive, between Bakeland and Hancock Road. It's currently a vacant site. We're proposing to redevelop it per the 10 Normandy Drive redevelopment plan. We are proposing a 241,200 square foot warehouse with loading, trailer storage, and parking associated with that building. This building has a two interior offices for a total of 14,500 square feet. There are 39 trailer dock doors, two ramps, 60 trailer storage spaces. There are approximately 162 parking spaces located to the east and the south of the building. Of those parking spaces, there are seven electric vehicle make ready spaces, as well as seven ADA spaces. One of those ADA spaces is also an electric vehicle space. There is a loop road that comes off of Normandy, runs through the trailer truck court and around the back of the building and loops back to Normandy Drive. This serves as emergency access as well as circulation for the cars and trucks on site. The driveway to the west, the westernmost driveway, coming directly off of the truck court, will have a right turn in, a left turn out, and that will serve for the trucks and trailers on the others. The other eastern side driveway will be a right turn out and a left out only. There will be no trucks permitted to turn right out of that driveway. We are proposing, in the way of stormwater, we're proposing two large bioretention basins, which will treat the stormwater runoff, detain it, and reduce the peak flows off the site.
And then in terms of the basins, I just wanted to stop you there. I just want to make a point real quick. We will be installing both guardrails and fencing atop of those basins, correct?
There is the required fencing at the top of the basins. There's a few retaining walls scattered throughout the site. Those will have guardrails as well as a 4-foot tall fence on them in addition. The fence will be in more ornamental aluminum type fence and not a chain link fence. For the retaining walls, the fence around the bioretention basins is proposed to be a wooden split rail fence. So we are proposing adequate lighting throughout the site, dark sky compliant, no light spillage at the property lines, which would impact any of the neighbors. We're proposing landscape screening throughout the site, special bioretention plantings in the bioretention areas, some shade trees lining the streets, the roadways here, some more shade trees and lower brush shrubs to help to screen the building slightly from the neighboring properties. I will note that the township professionals have made a few comments on the landscaping. We plan on adhering to all of those comments and satisfying them. There's also a requirement for a tree replacement, tree survey and a tree replacement plan. We will meet the ordinance and replace all the trees as required. As part of our site, we recognize that there is a single-family home right in the corner of our site that shares a property line. In that area, there is a retaining wall that ranges, it's about 4 feet off the property line. It starts at about 1.5 feet tall, goes to about 8 feet tall. That is proposed to have a fence on top for the length of the property line and a little bit beyond it. We propose to attach a turf-like privacy screen to the fence to help to screen more of the traffic and the building from that neighbor. There are the majority of this existing condition in the middle of the site is old building pads, broken up pavement, that sort of thing. We have substantial forested areas that are remaining as we're showing in this rendering, and majority of this panhandle in the back is all remaining the same, where we are not touching any of the forested property on that end.
And so I just want to make clear that the areas on Exhibit A1 that are within the property boundaries that aren't shaded, those areas will remain forested, and we're not proposing any tree removal in those areas. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And so that is all screening and buffering that we will be able to utilize because it will stay on site.
Correct.
Great. And you mentioned something about a fence along the retaining wall adjacent to the one property owner. Property address is 2 Hancock. Do you have an illustration of what that fencing would look like to help buffer any potential visual impact?
Yes. Let me pull up that exhibit here. Okay, I am going to share this exhibit, which will be exhibit A2, I believe. This here is an enlargement of lot 2 and where the shared property line with our proposed site. So this here is the property line. We have highlighted in with a red line the area in which we propose to attach a turf-like screening to the fence on the retaining wall, along with some sample pictures on the right-hand side here of something that it may resemble. In addition to that screening, on the other side of this roadway, we do have some lower bushes, evergreen type bushes, along with some larger deciduous trees. And we will also be mixing in a little bit more of some taller evergreens as well.
I just want to make it clear that this proposed fencing, this is not a requirement of the redevelopment plan. Is that correct?
Correct.
It's a requirement. It's nor a requirement of the township's ordinances. Is that correct?
Correct.
Thanks. I just want to make sure that I was understanding that one. I didn't mean to interrupt your flow. Please proceed.
Let me, I guess, pull back to the site rendering here. Our main entrances, there's two proposed office locations on the north end and the south end. Our parking lots are directed around those office locations. And we have two in order to facilitate a one or two tenant warehouse. Should this be subdivided, the preference is for a one tenant, but we have the second office location for that flexibility. There are fire exit doors surrounding the site per code. And I believe that that covers everything I wanted to say at this time.
Thank you. And Ollie, we'll just leave it with this. I know that we already acknowledged the fact that we were going to comply with all of the comments contained in the professional reports and resolve any issues with the township staff and professionals. But I know in some applications, there's one item that still comes up sometimes. So I just want to make sure that it's clear that there's an emergency repeater system that we're going to be installing. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Great. I just figured sometimes I like to call that one out. So unless the board has any questions, we'll put on our next witness.
Thank you. Kristen, you may proceed.
Thank you. So next we'll call Lee Klein, Klein Engineering.
can I just, before we go on to here, because I have a couple items that can be addressed really quick.
Sure.
On the EVSC, you said make ready. I just always put this comment in. Are you going to make any live right now? Because prior to the EVSC state ordinance, the township had a ordinance that required EVSC installation. I'll defer to the board if they wish to see any live, but right now they're saying they're going to just make ready and they're not making them live. I'll defer to the board. If you don't, if you're fine with make ready, then they're going to make ready, but there's not going to be any live EV stations installed with the current proposal.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, Madam Chair, they would have to make them live.
That means seven live. That should be a condition of approval.
That's the reason why we had a municipal ordinance put in effect.
I agree with Ron and the mayor. Otherwise, we really have no time frame when these have to go live. So I'd like to see it done now as well.
Okay. So that clarifies item five of my letter. Item seven is just a minor thing with just putting the loading space requirements. And I think the rest of these, I'm just trying to clean it up more for a resolution compliance later on. Item nine had to deal with the fencing, and if Dawn's happy with it, I'm good. Because most of these are partially satisfied. I just want to clean it up. Item 13 was the height. I mean, you said the response was we'll make it a condition of approval. What's the height going to be? There was a discrepancy between the architectural plans and the site plans. So are we, I just want it to be consistent. It was 47.1 with the zoning table and 49 within the elevation drawings on the architecturals.
I could get to that in the testimony, or I could.
Okay, that's fine. These are minor things. I just want to. And signage details. I mean, if the township's happy with that, that they will give the details later, I'm good with it. And number 18 was the major one, because I read the review letter from this from the township about the landscaping, and they just felt it was deficient. So I'm just going to leave that as an open item. If the township and the board wishes to incorporate our comments in here, because they said we'll make it a condition of approval, but they didn't address anything on our letter about the different specific recommendations we had. So that with that, I probably won't speak again tonight. I can't promise that, but I'm fine with listening for the rest of the evening.
Well, the intention obviously is to comply with what's in the redevelopment plan and the ordinance. So that's what we're intending to do.
Okay. And but because, I mean, again, I think myself and the township's on the same page where they said they just felt the landscaping plan, if I remember the quote today, was woefully insufficient. So well, we gave suggestions, and I will defer to the township and the board to, address the landscaping plan.
Ron, right. When it comes to landscaping, what we would always do as a condition of approval is they have to work with Mr. Hinterstein to his satisfaction. So
sounds good to me.
It will not be inadequate when Mr. Hinterstein is done with it. I can guarantee you that.
And I'm sure of that, which is why I always say we put our his recommendations and ultimately defer to him. Thank you.
Okay.
Right. And I just want to go back to the initial comment regarding the make ready spaces. I mean, we are providing the make ready spaces. That's what's required by statute. So I want to be clear, I mean, to provide them all live now, I mean, it's electrical output that we can't commit to.
Well, the state statute, unfortunately, that came down supersedes the municipal ordinance, and that's directly in the state statute. So if they comply with the state statute, I think that is the best that we're going to get with regards to the EV.
Mr. Barlow, I also would, just say, which why I always put in my letter, the state statute also says you can encourage more, installation above and beyond what is required. So the board certainly could encourage them to put 7 live stations instead of 7 make ready. That again, that's I'll defer to the board on that.
I think, Madam Chair, we'll circle back to this one. We'll let the applicant move along with the application, but more importantly, I'm more concerned. The fencing next to the neighbor, I'm assuming it's one thing to put it up and have that different scheme, but it's maintaining it that counts. I just want to make sure it was part of board of approval that the applicant has to continually maintain it.
It's on our property. Absolutely. That we can comply with.
And if I can, Madam Chair, just real quick, evidently some residents are raising their hand to speak, and I just wanted to assure anyone who's on the hearing, after the applicant puts all of their testimony on the record and the board asks any questions, there'll be an opportunity for anybody from the public to ask any questions. So if you can just hold any questions until after the applicant finishes.
Okay, then.
Madam Chair, if I may, just one thing. I apologize, Dawn Corcoran. Mr. Todaro, on the revised plans, we see that there's sidewalks along Murray Drive, along Hancock Road. I just want to be sure that there's no objection to the right-of-way dedications that the township is requesting. It's not on there. They're not shown on the revised plans. I know you said that your client agrees to the staff report, but again, I just want that on the record.
That we will be providing the dedication for the right-of-way?
Correct, along both Normandy and Hancock Road to bring those to the half width as required by the master plan.
Yes, okay. But the one aspect of that is I just want to defer to our engineer in regards to how that sidewalk will be configured with the right-of-way dedication. I want to make sure that we're not dedicating a portion that we're also going to be putting a sidewalk on that would also be part of the road. So let me just.
There wasn't any right-of-way dedication shown on those revised plans, so I wasn't sure how it was going to impact your project. So if your engineer could just go over that briefly, that would be great.
Madam Chair, if I may, just as an aside note, the Township Engineering Department is under engineering design for Normandy Drive. And I believe they're at halfway through the design stage on that.
And so Will they be able to comply?
With providing the right-of-way dedication?
Right.
Correct.
Okay.
Thank you.
You may proceed with your next witness.
Thank you. And I believe it might be our next witness might be someone who is raising their hands as a attendee. I don't see him.
That a person in the public?
It's Lee Klein.
Is that person a member of the public?
Good evening. Can everyone hear me?
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. Can you please raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Okay, can you just explain to the board, really provide the board some of your qualifications and credentials?
Certainly. My name is Lee, middle initial D as in Daniel, Klein, K-L-E-I-N. I'm a professional engineer in the state of New Jersey. My license is current and in good standing. I'm also a nationally certified professional traffic operations engineer, and that national certification is also current and in good standing. I've been accepted before well over 100 boards, planning and zoning boards throughout New Jersey as an expert in traffic engineering. And back in 2015, 2018, I actually consulted to this board in Piscataway.
Great. His credentials are accepted to be testified as an expert.
Thank you.
So, Ms. Klein, were you able to review the site plan application and this actual site plan that we submitted in connection with this application?
Yes, I did.
All right. And what were your observations in regards to on-site circulation?
Well, I want to speak first about my traffic report, if it's okay. So I prepared a traffic impact study, a traffic engineering evaluation dated June 16th, 2023. It was reviewed by Dolan and Dean, your consulting traffic engineers. They found it to be prepared in accordance with recognized standards and appropriately analyzed the weekday AM and PM traffic volume. So I don't know if we could just sort of put that to bed if you'd like. But we did the trip generation numbers. We did traffic counts at the intersection of Bakeland and Normandy back in June of last year. We found the peak hours. We analyzed the peak hours for the existing condition, the future no build condition with the background growth. And then we applied the traffic volumes from the proposed warehouse. The trip generation, Institute of Transportation Engineers, trip generation 11th edition was used. The 241,200 square foot warehouse will generate approximately 41 cars during an AM peak hour, 32 in, 9 out, 43 cars during the PM peak hour, 12 in and 31 out. We also have the trip generation numbers for the truck traffic. We're looking at approximately 5 trucks during the AM peak hour, 4 in and 1 out, 7 trucks during the PM peak hour, 4 in and 3 out. We found that the levels of service at the intersection of Bakeland and Normandy Drive operate at levels of service A in the existing conditions. That's the best levels of service you can get. And they continue to operate at levels of service A in the future no build with the background growth, and then the future build with the background growth and the trips from the warehouse. As far as the site circulation goes, that was also commented on in the Dolan and Dean letter. We've got two separate driveways where we're able to try to keep the passenger cars separate from the trucks. And they thought that was a good idea. And I also think that's a good idea. And I looked at the widths of the drive aisles, the parking space sizes. We meet those standards. And it's the ability for passenger cars to move in and out of the parking spaces and trucks to move in and out of the loading spaces, the loading docks, and circulate throughout the site is certainly accommodated by those, by the geometry that was proposed on the site plan.
So there's adequate space for both passenger vehicles and trucks and trailers to navigate safely on site.
That's correct.
And then can you just discuss briefly the left out, right in, those types of ingress and egress from those driveways?
Yes, we're proposing that exiting the site, you'll make a left to go towards Bakeland. Coming in, you'll be coming in from the Bakeland intersection and making a right turn in. We're going to try to keep the trucks are going to be coming in their own driveway. Passenger cars will be coming in the easterly driveway to keep those, to keep that separation. No vehicles will be turning right to go down Normandy to go into the neighborhood.
Fantastic. Thank you. That's all I have for this witness. I'll bring on our architect.
Madam Chair, can I jump in on the traffic, gentlemen? I just want to make it crystal clear that down past that section, it is a light traffic street, so there shouldn't be any trucks going down there. From what I understand from speaking with some of the residents out there, there is on the Middlesex Borough side of Bakeland Avenue, there evidently is a car carrier business there, and evidently supposedly what's happening out there, that when some of the deliveries are waiting to be delivered, offloaded, some of the vehicles park on that section of Normandy Drive where they're not supposed to be. I just want to make sure on the record that any of the facility vehicles coming on site, that they're not going to be loitering on any of the adjacent streets, and that there will be no overnight parking for any of the drivers on the site.
That's correct. There's
off-site parking.
Okay. And for the record, Counselor, I think I saw in the packet that there is going to be Title 39 enforcement for our police department on the property.
For ticketing? That's correct.
Okay, yes, thank you. Those folks that are listening, Title 39 allows the police department to come on and issue traffic summonses on the site.
Correct. It's number 19 in the September 12th report.
Okay. Thank you, Counselor.
Is that the, have you completed the testimony of that last witness?
That's correct, Madam Chair.
Do you have any other witnesses?
Do we have one? Bill Mandra, unfortunately, he has my name on his as well. There we go.
Sorry about that.
Can just have him sworn in, please.
Okay. Can you please raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony about to give you the truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Can you please state and spell your name for the record?
Name is William, W-I-L-L-I-A-M, Mandara, M-A-N-D-A-R-A.
All right. Can you provide the board with some of your qualifications and credentials, please?
Sure thing. I'm a partner at Mancini Duffy. I'm a licensed architect in New Jersey.
I'm sorry, this is the stenographer. Yeah, it's way too low.
Yeah.
How about now? Is that better?
Just turn it up as high as possible.
How about now?
Let's try it out. It's still a little low, but let's try it out.
Okay. So William Mandara, W.
You may have to shout.
Yeah, it's still low.
Sound like the Godfather, really low.
That's really odd. Is any better now? Any better now?
Let's give it a try. Cool. Just keep your voice loud and we'll see if the court reporter can.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Probably going to have to shout. Hate to say it, but.
All right, sorry about that. How about now? Okay, is that any better? All right, well
just start testifying and we'll tell you.
All right, sounds good. Anyway, licensed architect, New Jersey, testified before many, many boards across the state of New Jersey. I'm also licensed in about 35 other states as well.
Your license in good standing?
Yes, it is.
He's accepted. He's qualified to testify as an expert in architecture.
Thank you. And I see you just pulled up a site plan sheet. Can you just explain to the board what we're looking at?
Sure. What you're looking at here is the building. As you'll see on the left, this was previously explained. All of the loading to the building comes in on this side of the building. You'll see we have indicated some space. Well, to take a break for a second, you'll see there's two office spaces in each of the corner on the right side of the building over here, totaling 14,500 square feet. The rest of the spaces was previously testified as 241,200 square feet. We have spaces designated on the roof for potential HVAC equipment that will comply with the ordinance's buffering requirements. We move towards the elevation. One of the questions.
And I'll tell you, can we just back up for a second, Mr. Boyle? We mark that as A3.
Sure. Yes, sir. Okay. Please keep going, Mr. Mandera. So this is A4.
One of the questions previously asked was the building height. I'm going to zoom in a bit here. Hopefully. The top of the parapet is 49 feet, and the top of the roof ridge is 47 feet, 1 inch. So hopefully that should clarify. The design of the building is going to be designed using tilt-up panels that will have a mix of painted and natural concrete along with metal panels and storefront. We have some renderings in the following page that will further show what that looks like. A monument sign here is proposed. Again, all compliant with the ordinance. Moving to the next exhibit. You see the design of the building. Again, a combination of concrete panels, aluminum panels, metal panels, as well as glass storefront where the office areas are. That's our final exhibit.
A nice neutral colors is what we're proposing, correct?
Correct. Nothing's going to stand out.
And then signage will be compliant with
the signage is 100. It's 120 square feet maximum signage, which we're compliant with.
And so we just don't know yet who the tenants will be and what that exact lettering will be, obviously, but this
exactly. As the tenant comes in, that signage would come in and then proper permits will be pulled for those.
Fantastic.
Let me just figure out how to show it.
I have no further questions for this witness and concludes our initial proffer.
Okay. Do we have any questions from the members of the board? Hearing one.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I just want to make sure that I know they have neutral colors up there at this point. I just want to make sure that in the eye of beholder that you submit the colors to the board and let the staff and sign off on it because I don't want any obnoxious colors out there.
We agree with that.
Okay.
Madam Chair, it's Reverend Kenny here. I'm just concerned about how many handicapped spaces do you have there? I didn't hear anything in regards to it. Maybe I missed it.
We'll defer back to Franz. Can you just...
Yes, there are 7 handicap ADA spaces.
Okay, I missed it because somehow or another I didn't catch what you said. Thank you.
Yeah, no worries.
Any other questions from the board? Hearing no questions, so let's open it up to the public, please. Members of the public, you heard several witnesses. If you have any questions, this is your opportunity to ask questions. Would you please signify by making us know that you're raising your hand.
Okay, Madam Chair, the first one to raise their hand is Tenorio Zeno.
Yes. Hi, good evening.
Okay, just Miss Tenorio, just so you, and this goes for anyone else who wants to, if you could state your name, spell your last name, and give us your address, and then the board secretary will swear you in. And then you can tell the board or ask whatever questions you want, okay?
Okay, thank you. My name is Lydia Zeno and Tenorio. We're family that lives at 2 Hancock Road, Piscataway. and it's a two-family home.
Okay, and you're a two Hancock, okay. And then Ms. Saunders will swear you in.
Can you please raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
What would you like to say, ma'am?
I want to thank you for giving us this time for the concerns. I represent our home, which you spoke about earlier, which they call a house on 2 Hancock Road in Normandy. This is an earthquake situation for us, and we are devastated, sincerely devastated, with a 3PL building built behind us. I work for one, and I know what comes with this. The project raises several issues, such as noise and light pollution from construction, increased traffic along with congestion for imports, exports, and employees, considering these claims are based on the proposed proposition of the 162 parking spaces and everything that you just spoke about. And as a result of the increased traffic congestion, and with that congestion, when River Road floods, we get the congestion of all the warehouses that are there behind us that come down on Normandy Avenue and Bakeland. The traffic of the cars becomes horrendous. We have families and we have a lot of children and a lot of pets in our area, and it will be affected. And since we live right on the corner of Hancock and Normandy, this project encompasses us completely with the exception of the front of our home. And I'm very nervous and concerned about all these things. I know you said you would build walls. No walls are going to hold pollution. No walls are going to hold the noises, and we're very, very concerned and upset for our family. And as seen in the diagram, it looks like on the one side, on the left of us, is going to be the entrance to the facility and a hot box positioned on the other side of our home. This will be in safe proximity to our home and our neighborhood. And as of now, we have a lot of turkeys, deers, and wildlife running in our area as it is. What happens when they start digging and other species come up from the ground and it's going to disturb our home? What happens when they start digging and the chemicals rise due to the previous Union Carbide plant that was located there? And I'm just concerned, did anyone ever consider the families that live in that area that have children and pets for themselves, how destructive this will be to our neighborhood? We have children that play outside and we really have a big concern. We care about our neighborhood. We care about our families. We supported Piscataway in many ways throughout elections, backing the police and fire departments, and they are wonderful. And now we're looking for some support for us. It's all about people. It's about families and children. And the other one last thing is that once this building goes up, our property values are going to drop. And I don't think that that's fair to anyone in the neighborhood. So I hope, you know, I thank you for giving us this opportunity, and I hope you consider everything that I did say, because we love our neighborhood and we've been here over 18 years. Thank you.
Thank you, madam. Is there anyone else?
Are there any other members of the public who'd like to come forward? Do you see any indication, Ms. Buckley?
No, if anybody else would like to speak, you could just raise your hand on the corner, and I did unmute you, so you can give us your name if you'd like to speak on the application.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, this is Laura Leibowitz. Okay. I am the county committee representative for Possum Town Neighborhood at 211.
Okay, represent- ma'am.
Without- that neighborhood specifically, that block.
Oh, okay, ma'am, if you said Laura Leibowitz, is it Leibowitz?
That is correct.
And what is your address, ma'am?
102 Stratton Street South.
Okay, Ms. Saunders, I'll swear you in.
Can you please raise your right hand?
Yes.
Do you swear that the testimony about to give will be the truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
So I'm just here. I'd like to applaud and send my support to the previous caller She truly is just one singular voice for many voices in the Possumtown neighborhood. It's a beautiful neighborhood, especially at the back there. And I can only support what she said. In addition to noise and light pollution, the diesel fume pollution is a serious concern with the number of trucks and traffic right at the back of that neighborhood and River Road, in conjunction with all of the other truck traffic that we have in town. There are other warehouses back there, the Best Buy warehouse, the Amazon warehouse. It's really quite a collection of warehouses and really a centralized location for any number of trucks in and out besides the ongoing traffic. It is a serious concern. And I just really want to voice knowing that this one family spoke, but I have also spoken with many neighbors in the community. People are not happy, and I hope that we will consider this. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Are there any other members of the public who would like to come forth and ask questions at this time?
Yeah, I see someone named Maggie.
Yes, this is, can you hear me?
I can, if you could state your name.
Yes, this is Margaret Ball at 77 Hancock Road, and I've been in the area for 40 plus years.
I'm sorry, so slow down one second, sure. Ma'am. I have to write as fast as you talk.
Okay.
Margaret, and what's your last name?
Ball, B-A-L-L.
Oh, okay. 77 Hancock Road?
Right, so I'm on the other side of Hancock has a division in the middle.
Okay, just hold on one second. Ms. Saunders, you want to swear? Can you please
raise your right hand,
yes.
Ms. Will?
Yes.
Swear that the testimony about to give you the truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
So I've lived in at 77 for over 40 years. So when Georgia Pacific was here, there was a lot of pollution that occurred. So I'm really concerned when they start digging, the acetone, the phenol could create some major contamination in the environment for the people living, you know, very, very close to the building. So I just wonder if there's been a lot of consideration on this brownfield with the volatile organic compounds that can re-enter the atmosphere. Is there going to be a capping of any sort because of all the pollution that occurred here that I'm sure is not ever going to be remediated in our lifetime? So that was one question, and I have a second if you can answer that. I just wanted know whether I heard some mention about the DEP is going to be brought in at some point, but I am very concerned that we will know and be reassured that we're not going to have too much contamination when the building occurs. So that would be one of my bigger concerns, but also why can't the direction of the traffic be along the other corridors where the other warehouses? Why does it have to come out on a residential street where there's a house within feet of the driveway, where we know that they're going to only come into the right and out to the left, but it's still very close to a lot of our houses with the noise, the pollution they're going to create. Why aren't they allowed to be redirected and have it directed by where the other warehouses come and go off to Bakeland? And there's another road over there. I can't remember the name that it's called?
Ridge
Road. I don't understand why that wasn't used as their entry and exit. So that's even a bigger concern with traffic and noise and pollution. Thank you.
Mr. Tadaro, do you want to address that or have any of your experts address that?
If we have to get more in depth for environmental, we can. However, I just want to note again, we're proceeding with trying to obtain an RAO for this site. And so that outcome will be predicated upon what the NJDEP says in terms of remediation, cleanup of the site. But go ahead.
Yeah, let me just add a couple things and I hope to answer all your questions. First, as it relates to the environmental and just as a general comment, we are under a confidentiality agreement here. There's a lot of information that is public. The site does go back and we have Justin Protasiewicz on the line as well, who is our environmental engineer, who could speak a little bit further to this, but we are we could speak to certain things, but as Anthony was just referring to, we will be, we DEP already has is involved in the site. History on the site does go back many years. There will be a capped solution here. There will be an RAO ultimately as well. During the course of construction, we will be complying with all environmental laws. Most of the remediation that's happened to date, a good portion of the remediation has already happened to date. There is still more to be done, which ultimately will get us to that REO point, which is a cap solution here. There will be a deed notice and a couple other measures taken in place. But as far as how we control everything, we will be absolutely compliant with all applicable laws and ensuring that there aren't any discharges from that perspective. But the companies on the site from a historical perspective have been operating on the site for many years, as was just indicated, and there has been ongoing remediation for several years. Anthony, I don't know if it makes sense for Justin to give a little bit more of a technical explanation than I just gave, which we're more than happy to open up to him, just to give a high level of where we are from an REO perspective and all the capping perspective. Does that make the most sense? And then we can answer the other questions that were just asked.
I do. Let's just briefly provide some professional environmental testimony. Hopefully that will address any of the public comments in that regard. So we'll see where.
Can you please raise your hand? Can you please raise your right
Justin?
Hand?
Yes.
Do you swear that the testimony about to give will be the truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Can you please state and spell your name for the record?
My name is Justin Protasiewicz. That's J-U-S-T-I-N. Protasiewicz, P-R-O-T-A-S-I-E-W-I-C-Z. It's just above my
okay.
Head.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm with SESI Consulting Engineers. I've been practicing engineering for 15 years, licensed in New Jersey since 2016, and I've testified in front of several boards in New Jersey in the past.
I'd like to just submit him briefly as a professional.
Yes, good, my proceed.
Please go ahead.
Sure. So, as Heath indicated, the site has been under remediation since the 1980s. There has been significant investigation and remediation completed at the site by the past companies that were operating the site. There was significant soil removed from the project, and the source contamination has been removed from the site. There is remaining groundwater contamination, which is being managed by the under the observation of NJDEP and the licensed site remediation professional. And the remedial action permits for the site have been submitted to the state of New Jersey. So as Heath indicated, once those remedial action permits are issued from the state, a response action outcome will be issued for the project. From a redevelopment perspective, we will be managing the project under a site management plan. So we will be making sure to manage the soils and groundwater appropriately during the redevelopment. And we will be taking into consideration, keeping the surrounding community safe during that time period. So there will be monitoring and observations made during construction. We did design the site to consider the existing conditions at the property. So we will be, to the extent possible, mostly only filling at the project. There will be some minor cuts and fills, but the site was designed to take into consideration the underlying contamination.
Thanks. And to sum that up, the intent is to actually make better the site from an environmental standpoint. Is that correct?
That is correct. As I'm sure the adjacent residents have noted, the site is a blight and it is in need of redevelopment. And this will absolutely improve the quality of the site from an environmental perspective.
And the remediation efforts are under the oversight and governments of the NJDEP, correct?
That is correct.
Thank you. thank you for just providing that clarification.
Is there any other member of the public who have a question at this time?
And
yeah, just Madam Chair, I have a question.
We just wanted to just address that second point as well regarding access and frontage. That was important as well to address that. So mm-hmm. I'll just have civil engineer Franz just pop back on just to reiterate a few aspects. And just remind you that you're still under oath, correct?
Yes.
Okay, you just pulled back up Exhibit A1, correct?
I have pulled back up Exhibit A1.
Okay.
There's comment about us not accessing it's Ridge Road. So our site is bounded by Normandy Drive, the adjacent properties in Hancock to the east. It's a Kinkashera property to the west, and then the KISS distributors to the south. So we have no direct frontage on Ridge Road. Also, Ridge Road is a private road that's not owned by the township, and it's not owned by the developer. So we have no access to any other streets other than Normandy and Hancock. So we are proposing our traffic to enter exit off of Normandy.
Okay, and so again, and that's why we have adequate frontage on Normandy, and we're going to construct two driveways for ingress and egress for both trucks and passenger vehicles.
Yes.
Are there any other questions? Any other witnesses at this time?
I have a question as a member of the public.
Okay, ma'am. You just have a phone number there. So if you could state your name, spell your last name, and give us your address, please.
Of course. My name is Jessica Cradiville.
You're going to have to spell the last name.
Sure. That's K-R-A-T as in Tom, O-V as in Victor, I-L as in Lima.
Not on Normandy and Hancock.
Excuse me. Can we have the members of the public that aren't speaking put themselves on mute?
Thank you.
And if you could spell your last name again, you kept cutting out.
My apologies. It's K-R-A-T as in Tom, O-V as in Victor, I-L as in Lima, Cradiville.
Thank you. And your address, ma'am?
That's 1247 Brookside Road.
Okay.
Can you please raise your right hand?
Sure.
Do you swear that the testimony about to give we the truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
So I had a question about the environmental impact. Piscataway is listed in the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection as an overburdened community for environmental reasons. And the American Lung Association, as of my reading right now, gives us a D in terms of air quality. I understand that you just stated that the environmental state of the property was going to be improved, but to my understanding, the property is currently vacant. And I'm wondering how occupying it with a warehouse and truck traffic will improve the air quality and the overall environmental quality of the overall community in Piscataway. That was my question.
This is Justin. So when we're talking about environmental, I'm specifically discussing the remediation that's been ongoing at the project. The redevelopment of the site is going to further essentially cover the property with buildings and asphalt and landscape and clean fill that is going to be imported into the project. from a air quality perspective, we are going to be monitoring the air during construction to confirm that the levels of dust remain below standards and that there's adequate dust control during construction. I'm not specifically referencing truck traffic or the like that you indicated.
Thank you. I think that's something that the planning board needs to consider is not just the impact during construction, but the long-term environmental impact on the communities and families in the immediate vicinity. Thank you for taking the time to hear my comments and questions.
Thank you, ma'am. Is there anyone else from the public that would like to speak?
Don't see anyone, Chairman.
Close it.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm sorry. This is Lydia Zano again. I had one other question. I didn't see anybody, if they can address me about this hot box, what it's supposed to be that's on the diagram to the right of our house.
I'm not sure. There's a few things. I'm not sure if the public portion of the meeting has been closed. Regardless, I'm not sure what the question is in terms of a hot box.
Yeah, well, closed.
In fairness, her hand was up while the Madam Chair was calling for it. So if you could just quickly just tell us what this box is that she's asking about.
Sure. Where is it on? I'm not sure what this box is.
I can speak to that, Anthony.
Okay.
So that hot box is off of Hancock Road. It is a water connection. So the water will connect into the water main located on Hancock Road. The hot box itself is an above ground structure that houses the backflow preventers, meters, that sort of thing that will feed the proposed warehouse. It's completely located on our property. And it will be screened from public eye with vegetative screening as well.
So that's going to have electricity going through it to the new building?
It will have a low electrical line, just enough to keep the water meter and water valves warm in the winter so it doesn't freeze. But other than that, it is for water service from Hancock to the building. It's not for electrical service.
Where exactly would that be placed?
It will be placed in the location that the diagram you are referring to.
What I mean is how far from our house?
It is currently proposed to be roughly 125 to 150 feet.
You might as well put it in our front yard.
I'm going to object. I'm not sure.
I don't even know who that is, so whatever. You're right. You can move on, Mr. Today. Does anyone else from the public have any comments? Otherwise, we're going to close the public portion. Madam Chair, do you want to call for
Madam Chair.
Yes. Close to the public with this portion of the question. Members of the board, do you have any final comments?
Mr. Tadaro, do you wish to have sum up in any way? Or?
Yes, we would. So thank you for that last opportunity to summarize our application. And again, this is an application. It's a fully compliant application for preliminary and final site plan approval. Not asking for any variances, waivers, exceptions. There's no deviations from the redevelopment plan that's already been adopted and put in place. So we're proposing a warehouse, which is a permitted use by that redevelopment plan. Discuss this circulation, site access, the make-ready spaces that we're going to be putting in, compliance with New Jersey law. And it's a brownfield site, and the remedial steps that we're taking and the remediation is subject to the DEP oversight.
Okay.
comply with the site plan ordinance. I believe that it's appropriate to approve our application. So thank you for your time tonight.
Members of the board, you've heard the application and all the witnesses that have appeared before us. What is your pleasure for a motion?
Madam Chair, before we take a motion, I just want to clarify with Mr. Barlow about the whole charging stations here. I understand the state statute, but you know the intent of, and I know the state statute supersedes our municipal ordinance. However, I think it would be incumbent upon the applicant and that at least that they have half of them actually active and a good faith effort.
There, would your client agree to that?
Pardon me, Miss.
Trying to see my own view. I mean, it's going to be an issue only because of the utilities. I mean, putting in the conduit can't commit this time.
Well, the way I look at it, if you get fully operational, you're going to have the utilities right there, correct, Counselor? I mean, there's one thing to stub them out, but once you have a tenant there or two tenants, there's no reason not to have them built out, correct?
It's correct. Again, so I guess at this point, what we...
All right, Counselor, how about we do it this way? When you have half the building occupied, you have half the charging stations filled, and then if you get the other half occupied, and you have the other half filled. Simple as that. This way, you don't have to do all seven at once. That's a reasonable request.
Unless they have one tenant, then they're going
to... Or if they have one tenant and they get their CO, then there's no reason why they can't have that built out. Because the whole idea, Counselor, you know, I understand what the state was trying to do. However, I don't think they had the intent of companies coming in, getting a free pass, just installing the stub out there and never intend to build it out. I don't think that was the intent of the legislature or the statute. All I'm saying is that there's other buildings in our town. They have no problems installing them.
I'll tell you what, I'm looking at the plan now. We have a dual station. So what we could agree to is make two of those parking spaces now.
Well, I'm not asking until Mr. Barlow, until they get a tenant and it's actually occupied. Nobody's asking to have it operational during construction or anything like that. When you get a tenant that actually in the building.
So at the time of CO, we'll have two stalls. Is that something that
you got to have at least 50%, Counselor? I know how much this, I know how, I relatively have a good idea how much he's called to install. In the grand scheme of things, Heath, it's not a big ticket item, as you know. So,
yeah, this is all coming down to ensuring that we could coordinate appropriately with the utility companies and making sure that they have the capacity to provide the power that we need. I mean, as we all know, getting utility companies are not guaranteeing us power until we could substantiate what the requirement is for the building. We could put that as you suggest. It's not a matter of cost. It's just a matter of coordination with the utility company to ensure that could happen. So I'm sure we could figure something out from that perspective. It's just really coming down to will the utility companies cooperate.
All right, I get that, Keith. We have the same problems at the municipal level dealing with the
SDG. Right.
However, I think what we'll do, Mr. Barlow, is that as part of the condition of approval that they have to come in and demonstrate to us with PSE&G that there's an issue out there on why they can't build it out. My take is if you have one tenant there for the facility, there's no reason why all seven can't be built. If you have half of it occupied, it should have half. There's no reason.
Well, Mr. Aberson, would the applicant be willing to agree that once you have your, you know who your tenants are and therefore your power needs, that you will make the appropriate, take the appropriate steps necessary to work with the utility company to effectuate the installation of the 7 EV stations.
Yeah, yes.
Okay. And I can frame that in a way, Mayor Waller, I think that protects the applicant, but also accomplishes what you're seeking, which is when the doors open, that there's people can plug in their EV cars.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Members of the board, are you ready to propose to present a motion? Noting all the subjects that were discussed tonight.
Madam Chair, Reverend Kenny, I make a motion that this application be approved and that the applicant meets all the conditions that set forth by the various different boards of Mr. Hinterstein and in compliance with everything in regards to this application.
Do we have a second?
I second it.
Thank you. Roll call. Do we have somebody to enumerate what those conditions are, please? Mr. Barlow?
I have about 4 pages of notes, Madam Chair. It's all of the conditions set forth in the board's professional staff reports, including the 7 EV stations based on the time frame that was discussed, the additional fencing and screening for the property at 2 Hancock, the right-of-way dedication along Title 39 enforcement, the repeater system, and the additional conditions that the applicant agreed to on the record.
Madam Chair and Mr. Barlow, also as the build out of Hancock and Normandy, since we're like 50% along with the engineering plans, that should be working in conjunction with our township engineering department. So when the curbing goes in out there, it has to mimic the plans from Remington and Vernick.
Okay. Absolutely. The applicant, I'm sure, will work with the township's professional staff to make sure that goes very smoothly.
We will.
Thank you. Can we have the roll call, Ms. Buckley?
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes. Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes. Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes. Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed? He's here. Mm-hmm. And Madam Chair.
Yes.
Yes.
There you have. Mr. Todaro, the motion has passed.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good night, everyone.
Give me 1 second, Madam Chair. Let me just get to the. So the next thing on the agenda would be the 30 Duke Road. That we, as indicated before, was adjourned
right
to the October 11th meeting. Right. We have the 10 Marion Court. Again, that was adjourned till October 11th. The first discussion item, Madam Chair, was Mr. Morse, who is the applicant's attorney on 21 PB 40 and 41 V, the Revolutionary Housing Group, LLC. He's seeking a 1-year extension of time to perfect the minor subdivision for the property at 9 Water Street. He forwarded correspondence indicating that they've been diligently pursuing with the NJDEP for the permits they need. It's taking longer than I think everyone anticipated, and he has sought a extension of time to perfect the subdivision. If anyone has any questions regarding,
you have any questions or objections? Would someone make a proposal to grant the extension requested by Mr. Mark on this application?
Madam Chair, Reverend Kenny, I make the extension for 1 year. Is it correct for
yes,
one
sir.
Year?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Carol Saunders, second.
Roll call.
Roll call.
Mayor Waller?
Yes. Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Yes. Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Yes. Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed? And Madam Chair?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, there's a resolution that was prepared in keeping with that that Ms. Saunders has. So it's one less thing we have to worry about for the October meeting.
Ms. Saunders, from you, Member C.
Okay, hold on. Let me just get it here. Sorry. Give me my, gotta go to my email. Mm-hmm. Oh, I could just read it from here. I'd like to memorialize the resolution for an extension time for application 21PB-40/41V Revolutionary Housing Group LLC for a 1-year extension to perfect the minor subdivision.
You have a second?
Second.
Roll call, please.
Roll call, please.
Mayor Waller?
Yes. Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Yes. Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes. Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes.
Madam Chair, the next matter is a discussion item for 18PB38 and 39V Corporate Park Associates. Mr. Arch is here, and they have a request with regards to this matter, which the board has previously heard back in November 7th of 2018. Mr. Arch?
Good evening, everybody. Can everybody hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Good evening, members of the board, board professionals. My name is Tim Arch, attorney licensed in the state of New Jersey. The reason that we're here today for this discussion item, there was a letter that was sent in to Ms. Corcoran that I believe the board has in front of them. The reason for this request is that we have a new prospective tenant that is coming in to the building. Previously, there was already site plan approval granted for this site. As part of that site plan approval, there was a parking variance that was granted back at that time. It was 138 spaces required and 127 spaces were provided. This new tenant that's coming in is requesting a reallocation of the interior use of the building. We have permitted use for warehouse and office. They want to use more area for office use than was previously granted. There's no changes that are being proposed to the existing site from what was previously approved in the site plan. It's literally just a reallocation of that interior space. So normally that would be a very simple thing. But because of that, and because of the way parking calculations are done per your ordinance, because there is an increased use of office space and a decreased use in the warehouse space, the parking count gets recalculated and changes what the parking variance would be. There is a provision in your ordinance that allows for exemption from site plan review, and there's four criteria that have to be met for that exemption to apply. And so what I'm here tonight asking is that you essentially grant your zoning professionals your blessing to treat this as an exempt exempt from site plan application under the ordinance. And the reason and the way that we're achieving that is that we are proposing to convert six of the existing parking spaces that are on the site to make ready EV spaces. And by doing that, we are actually gaining those credits, which will then offset the change in the variance and actually result in a net better variance essentially a better variance than what was originally granted. Our deficiency will be less. We'll only have a 10 deficiency instead of an 11 deficiency. So the four criteria, just to briefly go through, and I'll just paraphrase them and go through as they are in the letter. Number one, our proposal does not include greater than 1,000 square feet of disturbance. Number two, we are not proposing any changes to signage, to draining, to site circulation, anything along those lines. And so there's no changes there. There is no negative impact to the site functioning. In fact, we're not changing anything in terms of how the site functions. We're actually arguably improving it because we're improving upon that variance. And then the last criteria is that this does not require additional parking spaces because of the offset of those spaces. We are actually not proposing to build any new spaces, merely convert the existing spaces. So we believe that we meet all four of those criteria to qualify for site plan exemption. Quite frankly, I think it is it's improving upon the site. It's providing make ready spaces where there were no make ready spaces. And quite frankly, if we were just to point out, if we were to come in for a site plan, a revised site plan application, because there is no proposal of new parking spaces, we would actually not fall under the state EV statute. And so there wouldn't be no requirement to even put in any make ready spaces if we were to come back for a full site plan. So because of that, we're actually going above and beyond what the state statute would require us to do if we were coming in for an amended site plan. So with that said, I would ask you to please look upon this favorably and authorize your professionals to treat this as an exempt proposal from the site plan application. I welcome any questions.
Madam Chair, I've reviewed Mr. Arch's submission and the ordinance, and my opinion would be that the exemption would apply and that it would not require a formal application to do it, and the zoning officer should be allowed to proceed as Mr. Arch requested. But as he indicated, he or I are happy to answer any questions, but I would think the exemption applies.
But Mr. Barlow, I have one item. Mr. Arch is right that they're not required to put in EVSE. Because this particular question came up on applications I've done elsewhere, and I asked, I'm driving Maria Connolly crazy at DCA when I ask clarifications. The municipality, in the ordinance, in the state statute, they don't have to grant the credit. However, the municipality may do this. This is what DCA told me, to encourage installation of EVSE. So it's well within their purview to do that. Now, he said, make ready. I'll defer to the board if they want to make it live. But, to give them these credits would be within the state statute, according to DCA.
Members of the board, would anybody like to make a motion to grant this request?
Madam Chair, Reverend Kenny, I grant this request to move forward in regard to Mr. Attorney Tim Arch's request for a larger office space for a new tenant.
Do I have a second?
Carol Saunders.
Thank you. Roll call.
Mayor Waller?
Yes. Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes. Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes. Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes. Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Yes.
Mr. Barlow, next.
Madam Chair, the next matter for discussion is 1690 South Washington, Block 5701, Lot 2. I believe Mr. Wolfson is here on that matter and can explain to the board what he's here for.
Thanks, Mr. Barlow. I'm listed on your screen as Ron Allenbeck because he sent me the link. So there's two Ron Allenbecks. This way, if I say something that makes you mad, I can always tell him it was Ron. So the boss will blame him instead of me. Ron's used to that. I'm sure he'll tell you. So we're here because, as you know, this board about a year ago granted us an approval for a warehouse, and we've been involved for the last year in putting together resolution compliance. And I think what's happened here is that we've requested building permits to move forward, and I think the zoning and building officers are uncomfortable in granting the building permit and zoning permit because the county planning board issue with the town for the putting in the traffic light, it sounds to me like a very good request to put in that traffic signal to allow for the safe ingress and egress to the ecological park, is in discussion. So the township has made, I think, a request to include that. And I think the county, I'm not saying they're acting in bad faith, but they're certainly not acting quickly in terms of that. So we're requesting clarification from the board as much to help us as it is to protect the zoning officer and building code official, that there's nothing in the resolution of approval or the conditions that would prevent or prohibit the issuance of those building permits and zoning permits. And that's really what we're doing here, so that we're not hurt or prejudiced because the county isn't acting as quickly as we would all like with regard to that issue. And certainly we understand that that issue is going to be resolved long before the question of COs comes up. But we would like to get started. As you know, it's been a full year already since we've had that approval. And as you know, and your professionals know, we've worked very hard to try to get to the resolution compliance. And I think there was a letter or a checklist sheet issued, which I think was supplied to Mr. Barlow by Mr. Hinterstein as to resolution compliance with all the other issues. The only thing in the resolution, I've looked at it very carefully, and I alerted township representatives to that issue that related to building permits or COs, was that no CO would issue until the deceleration lane was completed. But there is no other prohibition in the resolution against building permits. So we would like the board to confirm and clarify that there is no problem if the building code officer and zoning officer issue their permits, if it's otherwise appropriate. And that's really why we're here. Ron Allenbach is here should there really be any questions from the board, although I'm hoping there are not. It's pretty straightforward what we're asking.
Sorry, Mr. Wilson, just to be clear, that Piscataway reached out to the county because Piscataway wants that light in there.
Right.
I think it makes sense to me. Into the ecological preserve.
Right. Mm-hmm. And they requested that, and we're obviously not opposing that, but it's not within our jurisdiction or unfortunately yours. Yeah. So they're sort of taking their sweet time as to deciding whether or not to accommodate this request that the mayor and the town have made. And we're just asking, protect us, protect the zoning officer and the building code officer with our permits. Make it clear that the resolution does not prohibit the issuance of those permits.
Okay. And you're acknowledging that, you know, you're proceeding at your own risk.
Of course.
You do something and then they can't. Okay.
Yeah, I can't imagine what that would be, but as a matter of legal principle, you're absolutely correct. If the county did something that required a change in terms of the building design that was approved as part of the site plan, we'd have to fix it. No doubt about that. But I don't see the issue that's pending where the town is requesting the county to do, if I could be so bold as to say, the right thing, is not something that would affect the structure or the internal roadways or anything like that.
Mr. Wilson, I'm sorry, Dawn Corcoran. Just one question. Dawn. Hi, how you doing? The permit that you're making reference to, is that, will that just be for footing and foundation only?
I don't think we were so limited, but Ron is here, and he can better speak to what actually is up for doing right now. That's outside of my area. I don't get out there with the shovels too often.
Nor do I.
Thank you, Dawn. Ron Allenbach. Dawn, to answer your question, we're at the point now where, we're at the mercy of the township. We'll really take whatever we can get. I mean, obviously, we'd like to get full permit. There is obviously restrictions in there for CO for the desal lane. Hopefully this will be resolved long before that, but we want to keep moving forward. So we would ask for full building permits, but obviously I'd like to hear from the other members of the board.
Yeah, that's really it, Dawn and Tom. We just don't think there's anything in that resolution that would prohibit this. And we want to make sure that, well, it's not being just overly friendly, but I want to make sure that nothing happens bad to the zoning officer or building permit persons who issues it by having someone say, yeah, you shouldn't have done that. So we're out of abundance of caution here to request confirmation that my reading of the resolution and the conditions is correct.
And having read it, I would tend to agree with you, Mr. Wilson. So appreciate you coming before the board. Always better to ask for blessing than forgiveness. So
I know some people who think the opposite.
True.
Not the ones involved in this particular application, though.
Yeah. So if the board has no objection, essentially, he's just seeking acknowledgement that there's nothing in the resolution. And having drafted it, I don't see anything in the resolution that would prevent the zoning officer from issuing the building permits.
The zoning permit and building permit.
Zoning permit and building permit. Any board members have any questions or objections? I guess hearing none.
Hearing none, there is no objections by the board to the proposal that's been presented.
I'm not sure how formally or informally the board would handle the decision or the confirmation, but perhaps maybe Dawn or the someone else could help Mr. Barlow in directing what it is that he should say, perhaps in a letter, or the board should say in a letter to them that there is no prohibition or they're authorized or something to protect them as well.
I'll be happy to draft a letter and forward it to Dawn.
Thank you.
Works for me. Okay. I appreciate that, Mr. Barlow and Dawn. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the board, Madam Chairman. Appreciate it very much. If you have any questions, Tom, reach out. I'm available.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Good night.
Thanks much.
Okay. The next discussion item is an ordinance to amend and supplement the revised general ordinances of the Township of Piscataway, amending and supplementing Chapter 21 zoning in reference to data centers. Dawn, if you want to.
I can quickly go through that. So as the ordinance is today, data centers aren't addressed whatsoever. As you are aware, we have numerous data centers throughout the municipality. We've always treated these as permitted uses. So basically, this is just an amendment to the zoning ordinance, first to define what a data center is and to list it as a permitted principal use in the LI1, LI5, M1, and M5 zoning districts. Mm.
Does anyone have any questions?
No.
Mr. Barlow, basically this is codifying what's already out there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It just gives more guidance to the borough's township's professionals with regards to what is and is not a permitted use. So there no ambiguity going forward.
Exactly. Board members, do you have any objection to us describing what that data centers are indeed permitted specifically? Hearing no objection from the board members.
I believe there's a
resolution. We need to do a vote.
Right, make a motion, please.
Yeah. Dawn, you want to make a motion? Or?
I'll make that motion.
A second, please.
Reverend Kenny, I'll second it.
Roll call.
Mayor Waller?
Roll call.
Mayor
yes.
Waller?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes. Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes.
Next Saunders, item. Yeah, of a resolution?
Is a resolution?
Madam Chair, I'd like to memorialize resolution for the ordinance to amend and supplement the revised general ordinance of the township for data centers.
Do I have a second?
Second. I second it.
Roll call.
Mayor Waller?
Yes. Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes. Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes. Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes.
Next is a discussion on an ordinance to amend and supplement the revised general ordinances of the Township of Piscataway, amending and supplementing Chapter 24 site plan review in reference to off-street parking for dental and medical uses.
So within the site plan ordinance, we only have a parking standard for doctors and dentists. As Tom just said, this is to add an off-street parking requirement for physician assistants, nurse practitioners, or other medical personnel.
Do we need any discussion on this? Members of the board?
I make a motion that this be granted for nurses and other than medical and dental use.
I second it.
Roll call.
Mayor Waller?
Yes, yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes, yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes, yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes, yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes.
I believe we have a resolution for that also, Madam Chair.
Yes. Ms. Saunders?
Okay. Madam Chair, I'd like to memorialize the resolution for the amended ordinance and supplemental for Chapter 24, site plan review for off-street parking for medical and dental uses.
Do I have a second?
Yeah, I can second.
Roll call.
Mayor Waller?
Yes, yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes, yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes,
yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes, yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes.
Last up on the hit parade is a discussion for the amended or second amended redevelopment plan for block 11901, lot 22.15, also known as 857 Hose Lane West. And I believe Mr. Clarkin is here for that.
I am. Good evening, members of the board. I will try and quickly go over this. I'm going to share my screen. So I originally, I forget when I originally did it, probably 2017, 2018, but the latest revision was done in February 2021, right after your master plan reexamination. So we just need to make a couple of changes to this redevelopment plan in order for the redeveloper to move forward with the site plan. And so I'm just going to quickly go over those. So I'm going to skip to it's not on the PDF, page 6 in the report at the bottom is the first change. So under accessory permitted uses for under swimming pools, instead of rear yard areas, we're putting rear side yard areas. There's a couple lots where the side yards are sometimes a little bit bigger than the backyard. So there may be space for them to put a pool there, but it still would be mostly the rear of the lot. And then we're just adding stormwater management facilities to be clear that obviously those are permitted or accessory. And then moving on to page 8, we have a couple changes here. So first at the top, it's just clarifying that there is one lot in the subdivision that will be exclusively used for stormwater management. So this is basically saying it's that lot does not have to follow the bulk and accessory structure requirements because it's really just for stormwater. Then under building height, we're changing it from 35 feet to either 43 or 38 feet. And there's a little asterisk there, and that's because three of the homes will have walkout basements. So if you measured from the ground level at the basement and all the way to the top, it would be 43 feet. So it's just for those three buildings, but the rest will be 38. And then under maximum building coverage, we just added a little clarification that does not include swimming pools in that calculation. And then finally, you'll see this little blurb here. So there is one lot, I believe it's a flag lot, where it won't be able to comply with the minimum lot frontage. So basically it's saying minimum lot frontage shall be the same as minimum lot width, which as you can see is 100 feet, except where road access occurs from a side yard. So that's where the flag lot comes in. It can only provide 20 feet of lot width. So that's why that is there. And then I think it's right on top of page 10, we're just making the stormwater improvements be in accordance with RSIS. And later on that page is just also clearing up the RSIS standards for parking. So your minimum standard perpendicular is 9x18. Your parallel parking space on the subdivision roadway will be 7x22. The width for the roadways will also follow RSIS guidelines. So 50-foot right-of-way, 30-foot cartway, 16-foot travel way, no bike lane, and a 5-foot sidewalk on both sides of the street. And I just want to roll through and make sure I'm not missing anything, but I think, yeah, that is the, those are all the changes. So we will get this cleaned up into a more formal format and send it over for the next council meeting.
If I may, Madam Chair, for Mr. Corcoran, I want to make sure that we have, as Dawn Corcoran knows, for fiber optic lines in the development, that there be underground conduit lines going to all the houses for fiber optic.
Okay.
You're going to have to put a blurb in there, Jim, for that.
Sure, I can throw that under utilities.
It's being required with all the houses now that are being built.
Got it. Will do.
And Jim, I just have one question. Can you go back to page 6?
Sure. Yeah.
So, okay. The only reason I ask is, I know there was a different, there were changes that were going on, and I just didn't have that rear side yard in B. Okay. So okay. Private residential swimming pools can be in the rear or side yard.
Yeah, when I was looking at the subdivision, I think there's only three lots where that could realistically happen. And I think they're more like corner lots, like, kind of along the cul-de-sac.
Okay.
But we can clarify that to make sure that's right.
Okay. I just wasn't sure, but I just wanted to jot that down. Okay. So otherwise, other than those few changes you went over, the redevelopment plan is essentially the same one that this board had previously indicated to the township council that they felt was consistent with the master plan, correct?
That's correct. Yep. Still single family, only 14 units. None of that's changing, just a couple minor changes to bulk standards.
Okay. And none of the changes cause you to change your opinion that it's consistent with the master plan, does it?
Yeah, it doesn't change that. In my opinion.
Okay. Do we need a motion?
If the board doesn't have any questions, there would be a motion to recommend that the Township Council adopt the second amended redevelopment plan for block 11901, lot 22.15.
Members of the board, do you have any objections or any questions about this request? Mm-hmm. Therefore, we'll take a motion.
Madam Chair, Dawn Corcoran, I'll make that motion.
Do I have a second?
Reverend Kenny, I'll second it.
Roll call.
Mayor Waller?
Yes, yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes, yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes, yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Adkins?
Yes, yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes.
I believe we have a resolution to memorialize that also, Madam Chair.
Ms. Saunders?
Excuse me. Madam Chair, I'd like to memorialize the application for ordinance to amend and supplement. Oh, wait a minute, sorry. Reading on the wrong sheet, I'm going back and forth. I'd like to memorialize the amended redevelopment plan for block 11901, lot 22.5.
Second, we have a second?
Second.
Roll call.
Mayor Waller?
Yes, yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes, yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes, yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes. Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes.
I have nothing else.
We have completed our agenda for the night. Remind everybody that our site division meeting is on September the 27th, and everyone be safe and happy.
Madam Chair, if I may add, before we adjourn, I wanted to just wish those celebrating Rosh Hashanah a Happy New Year.
And likewise, I wish the same.
Okay.
See you in October.
Yep.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
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 Have a good night, all.
Thanks, you too.